And here's Sean Manley. All right, everyone. It is so good to have you all with us. As I mentioned, we just needed just those last few seconds to get Sean Manley, our guest, yours and mine, ready to speak with us. I tell you what, he was talking with us about the power of the mind just last week and how important it is that we do take charge of what we allow into our minds. And, you know, Sean, it is so good to have you back with us. Before we start talking, do that recap of how we can go about the business of controlling what we allow into our minds. For the benefit of the people who may not have been with us last week, would you just share with us again something about the life of Sean Manley and what has you on this mission to motivate people?
Sure. And then I thank you for having me back on, Carl.
My pleasure.
I started really understanding the human potential probably in my early 20s. I was in college. And I was going for exercise science degree. I was going for so I had to take a sports psychology class. And it was probably the one class that really had the biggest impact on me during college. And it was like the one class that I didn't really want to take at the time. But I'm glad that I did. And what we started learning about was the power of how you could control your thoughts. And your thoughts controls your mind. And this was specified for sports, obviously, because it was a sports psychology class. But I really had that awakening or that aha moment that, wow, you do have the ability to control your thoughts and then how they can influence your life after that. And from that moment on, then information just started coming to me in this realm, and I just got a big passion for it, and I started studying different things and different philosophies, and you can start seeing that the similarities in all of them and how this stuff has been known for so long. It just became very fascinating. I started meeting people and reading about people who could just do incredible things. I just really had a passion about, learning and understanding this and reaching not only my highest potential, but also helping individuals and helping people reach their highest potential. Because I think that, first it has to start with you. But once you get to that point, if you can start doing that with other people and we all start working on ourselves and growing, then we just make this a better world in general. So that's kind of how I got started.
I love that. And you talk about how our thoughts control our minds, and you bring to my mind something that I used to hear people talk about some years ago. And I imagine there's probably still people talking about it now. I just don't hear it as much as I used to. But people talking about someone who, for whatever reason, is usually engaged in some type of negative activity, some kind of negative behavior. And someone might say, oh, well, there's no change in that person because he's set in his ways or she's set in her ways. Are they often referring to a literal mindset that they're suggesting cannot be changed?
I think when people technically do it, they're being general about it. But, and again, when you get into different things, I'm not going to get down to your brain, but your brain and your mind are two separate things. Mm-hmm. And there's actually physiological reasons to this. When you do things or you think things in a certain way, you actually set up neural pathways within your brain. And these neural pathways become like grooves in a record. Or like if you've ever gone to a hiking, there's a path, and everybody walks down that same path over and over and over and over again. No one starts walking where the grass is growing. How they just always walk down the path, and that's kind of what these neural pathways are. And it gets to where things just become habitual. So when somebody, they say someone's optimistic or someone's pessimistic, it's not that that's their general nature. It's that they have developed the habit of becoming optimistic or pessimistic. They've created physiological neural pathways within their brain that when things happen, they automatically go to either that. If they're a pessimistic person, they just automatically go that mode of thinking. And it's like that with all our physical actions too. You're a guy, I'm sure you shave, Carl. Mm-hmm. Most guys out there, you probably shave the same way every single time you shave. It's a pattern that's become ingrained in you. And so to actually go and switch these patterns, first of all, you have to be conscious to do it because things happen automatically now. And so we just have to kind of learn how to go through it. So when someone's saying someone's set in their ways, that's true, but they can change it if they desire, if they're aware of that, and then they put the work in to change it.
And that is that true regardless of a person's age?
Oh, I definitely believe so. I think that that's just an excuse. Now, it may be harder because, well, first you have to think, well, we've developed these neural pathways. But then we also have to look at, when we look at thoughts, thoughts are magnetic. And when we start thinking along a certain line, we begin pulling more of those like-minded thoughts to us. So if we look at, if we've been thinking a certain way for 30, 40, 50, 60 years, one, you've developed more ingrained neural pathways, which is going to make it harder to change. But you've also, for that long amount of time, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, have been, in essence, building this ball of, you know, if you're thinking negatively, this negative ball of energy, that it automatically kind of pulls these negative thoughts to you. So I don't think it's not, if you're older, you can still change. It just may be a little bit harder than someone who's 10 years old who hasn't had the same kind of conditioning or programming.
That makes sense. That makes plenty of sense. And it's encouraging, I would imagine, for people in their 60s and 70s to know that there, if there's something going on in their minds, as far as their thought patterns, that even at their age, they can still change that.
Yeah, I mean, I believe everybody can change. It's just, it's how bad you want it. You know what I mean? It's work. And that's the thing, when you read certain self-help books, you see something like The Secret, you see these other things, they have good principles in it. But it's important to understand that unless you have been brought up in an environment, which is very few of us, where you've been taught this information, where you have been constantly given, you know, reassurance about how good you are and how you can achieve everything and this and that, then we have been programmed to be a certain way. And to change that, it takes a lot of effort and it takes a lot of work to do that. And you have to be focused on it. It's just like, if you're overweight, you know, if you need to lose 200 pounds, it's going to take work to lose that 200 pounds. And if we look at it from that standpoint, a lot of us are overweight in our mind. And so it's going to take time and work and effort to switch that.
I tell you what, that is amazing. So I know that you were telling us last week, and I think that definitely ties in with what you're explaining to us now, the fact that it's so important that we filter, that we control what goes into our minds. And I'm assuming that part of that whole issue of controlling what we allow into our minds helps us with the development of the correct thought processes?
Of course, because like we were talking about last week when we start to look at what is, you know, most of us don't understand this. And again, I didn't understand it for 20-something years of my life. And if you're never taught this, then you just go about life automatically receiving stimulation that the outside world kind of thrusts upon you. So it's important that once you become aware of it, now you can start making choices of, first of all, I can limit the negative influences that are coming upon my life. You know, I can limit how much TV I watch. I can limit radio. I can, you know, all the media that comes to me. I can be around the right people, because if we're around people that are always kind of being negative toward us or putting us down or you know, saying we can't do certain things, then that's, you know, that's that negative programming again. So we can start making those choices, but then we can also start doing things to counteract those things, which when we were talking last week, you know, the first thing we talked about was reading books. And the second thing we talked about was listening to uplifting information. And again, doing those two things specifically every single day on a regular basis.
Wow. And I remember you were sharing with us that people who are successful in business, et cetera, what was it, something like 88% of them listen to?
Yeah, I think it was 88% of wealthy people read a half an hour or more every single day, and only, I believe, 2% of poor people.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and it was like something like, I think 70% had their kids, made their kids read 2 nonfiction books a month, while it was like 3% of poor people. And it was a big, when I started reading a lot, again, that happened in my early 20s, I just kind of got a love. That's where I had so many aha moments. And I know everybody doesn't love to read. And if you don't like to read right now, it doesn't mean you have to go out and read, you know, hours and hours and hours. Read a couple of minutes, read a sentence. You know, if you're reading a little bit every single day, it has a huge effect on you.
And so this is something that I know that when we look at, you mentioned, you know, people want to lose weight. And a lot of times when it comes to the fitness of our body, the health of our bodies, the strength of our bodies, the look of our bodies, a lot of that has to do with what we're putting into it. And what you're sharing with us now is that when it comes to the health, the strength, the fitness of our minds, a lot of it has to do with what we're putting into it.
That's a very good observation, Carl. It's the exact same thing. And one of the things I was taught is the reason we have to read books every day and listen to audios every day is because we have to feed our mind the same way we feed our bodies. You don't eat and then say, oh, you know, I ate last week. You eat every day, most of us, you know, several times a day. Your mind is the same way, and it needs information every single day. And not necessarily new information. There's always powerful, you know, there's books that I reread and reread and reread because there's so much information in it and because you get something new out of it. And the same thing with different audios. You know, I you listen to them over and over and over again because you don't always retain all the information that you get through the first reading or first listening. As you go down your path, new things come up. So when you reread that information, you have new cognitions, new aha moments about the information you read, and so it's like an old book or an old audio becomes new. But we have to do it we have to feed our mind. It's a great analogy, and I'm glad that you made that observation.
And so that's something that for the person who may not, as you mentioned, be a lover of books, a lover of reading, they don't necessarily have to try to jump in and start reading for 2 and 3 hours a day. What have you found works well as a starting point for the people who are saying, okay, I really don't. I'm one of those people who doesn't love reading, but I'm willing to try this. How many minutes minimum can I read and get some impact out of it, some benefit from it? And how should I progress? Should I just start at one place and just steadily build up to a certain point of the length of time that I've been reading?
Like I said, a sentence. You know, you can read a sentence in a book. Whatever. I would say, you have to start where you're at, and we're all different.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to make a commitment, you want to make a commitment that you actually are going to do. So if you sit here and say, "Oh, I'm going to read a page a day," the minute you don't read a page for a day, you've completely, you know, you've broken, you've left the cycle going. You've broken an agreement with yourself, and that has negative consequences. So it's better to say, "Okay, I'll read it one sentence a day," because we all have time to read a sentence. You know, put a book in the bathroom. I read a page every day while I'm just on the bathroom, you know.
Interesting.
Those little things. So it starts small, and everybody's different. And mm-hmm. again, some people will find that maybe they don't like reading so much, but maybe they really enjoy listening to audio information because they're more auditorial in how they learn. But it is something that's important, and it's something that in this country and other places around the world, but in this country, you've really seen a drastic decline in that people don't read anymore. You know, there's the Facebooks and video games and all these things that are not beneficial to people. And like I said, you look at the people who are successful, they still read all the time.
That is amazing. Ladies and gentlemen, reading, listening to the audio, both of which can help us feed our minds that which is beneficial to our minds and in the process beneficial to our lives. So simple. So doable, but that's what it's about. Why does it always have to be super complicated? Something simple that we can control. Sounds good to me. Stay with us. Our guest, yours and mine, Sean Manley, and I will be right back.